Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business. This podcast and this summer tour would not be possible without our sponsors, so please check them out, go to their websites, listen to their value propositions, and consider doing business with them. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, I'm Zach Fishman.
And I'm Ryan Hicks.
And if there's one thing we've learned through the many episodes of Modern Business, if you work for a franchise, marketing is insanely difficult.
We've hosted a lot of people way smarter than us, and we can all agree on this.
Google is always updating its algorithm. Best practices for social media advertising are constantly changing.
And no matter how hard you try, it feels impossible to keep up.
Fear not, franchise fam. Ryan and I are so excited to introduce this week's sponsor, Scorpion, a marketing company that caters to your strategic needs of your franchise brand.
Scorpion is an all-in-one marketing partner capable of handling everything your franchise needs, from your branding and website to your search engine optimization, online reputation, and paid advertising.
But you don't have to take our word for it. Entrepreneur Magazine named Scorpion the number one franchise marketing company.
To learn more, visit scorpion.co/mb. That's scorpion.co/mb. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. This is day number 44. We are in Woodbury. Did I say that correctly, or do you say it with an accent? Woodbury.
Yeah, you got it. Woodbury's perfect.
Woodbury's perfect. We've got a crew with us today.
Day 44, did you say 44?
This is day number 44.
You know, 44 is like prosperity. You picked the perfect client to work with on a day 44. Look up the number 44. It's a great number.
Love it. Well, on this podcast today, we're going to talk about prosperity because we'll look that up, but we need to learn a little bit more. But by way of introduction to the guest today, we have Mr. Dave Mortensen, who's the co-founder and president of Anytime Fitness and also SV Brands.
Yep.
And then we also have Mr. Jed Schmidt, who's the president of Basecamp Fitness. We'll be learning about Basecamp. And we have Jennifer Yanggu, aka JY, who set this up. And most of the folks in this audience, or a lot of the folks, will know JY because I've seen you speak on 100 panels, but welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. And we also have, obviously, Mr. Zach Fishman, our much worthier host than I. Zach, what do you think of the HQ here?
That we were just saying, I'm a big fan of the Marvel, and this basically feels like we're in Tony Stark's like huge house. It's kind of like, it's got the open windows. This is like my dream office.
Honestly. Like, we literally, so day 44, some days we're going to four different HQs or offices.
Oh, wow.
By far, you guys already knew this, but the nicest headquarters in all of franchising has to be.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, listen, we put those headquarters really together for our franchisees, right? We wanted to give the perfect element for them to foster their careers and building their own career and their own businesses. And we want to build a place that all of us could enjoy and embrace as we do that.
So, yeah. Sure. Well, you clearly invest into the franchisees. So we'll organize this chat in a couple of different parts. Just to kick it off, I'd love to hear, Dave, your kind of background, and for the folks that might not have heard the founding story. What does that look like for you? What's the story?
Well, many of you don't know, I've had a business partner for over 30 years. So Chuck Runyon and I have been partners in business for 30 plus years now. And really, we started out in the fitness industry. So from the ground up, we started in the fitness industry working like anyone else. We worked front desk, we worked pool shifts, we had to even manage the daycare once in a while. And from there, we ended up developing and found out we were pretty good at development, right? And bringing in new customers to business and really introducing people to health and wellness. From that, we partnered in a business and we traveled all across the US, Canada, Australia, really working with independent, large gyms, franchise gyms, and we just saw a big hole in the industry. Mm-hmm. So we started saying, what would we do differently? So we bought a few existing clubs to learn from the experience of operations. We bought very large box gyms, rebuilt them, sold them off, and we were very successful at that. But the gap really came down to is we wanted to bring fitness to every community possible at that point in time. So in 2002, we launched our first franchise, which was Anytime Fitness, in a little town here called Cambridge, Minnesota, mm-hmm. which was an amazing launch. That scaled to today's footprint of over 4,500 clubs in 35 plus countries and soon to be seven continents. They'll be in Antarctica very soon. We'll be the first franchise to ever be in Antarctica. So I'm going to do the true polar plunge, you know, launching our, I'm going to wear like a purple flag and everything else. So it's going to be awesome. That being said, through that experience, we realized we're also really in franchising. Through the International Franchise Association, we had a lot of opportunity to meet great people, and we knew that was a vehicle we were also passionate about. So we built this multi-unit modality and shared services to give us the opportunity to scale more brands. Our first one we dabbled in was Wax in the City, which was a beautiful five-unit model out of Denver, Colorado. They had one in Dallas at the time. And today, that's 100-plus franchises. And as we know, 95% of the franchises never make it to 100.
In fact.
Right? So to sit here today with that over 100, and that is ready and ramping and growing, we're excited about that. The one we'll talk a lot about today is Basecamp, which is another five-unit model we invested in. Why? Because we're passionate about the workout. We're passionate about the founder. So we believe that's the next wave of 100 and 1,000 plus, because we'll go global with that very, very quickly. And more to come very, very soon with Self-Esteem Brands. So
nice.
Lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. I wish we had 3 hours for this podcast, by the way. One follow-up question, and then I'll bring you two in the conversation. First is in those early days when you were working with gyms, weren't you working from a marketing capacity as well, helping bring in new customers? I think I read that online. At the end of the day, you're providing a ridiculously amazing infrastructure and support, whether it's multi-unit, it's training and all of it. But did I read that correctly? Was you had basically kind of a marketing agency where you're helping fitness clubs?
Absolutely. So prior to Anytime Fitness, that agency was a sales and marketing agency, right? So not only did we go in there and help them actually learn how to bring in onboard new members, we also had to teach them how to market into their market base. Back then, direct mail was a very popular advantage in the market. So we were using the marketing modalities back then, and we brought them into our franchise system. But today, obviously, that's evolved to much more of a large digital space. Brand awareness, things like that, PR, you name it. Marketing has become a much larger engine with SEB today, but it's definitely been a core foundation of who we are.
Yeah, and I think that's just an incredibly powerful benefit rather than buying into a brand that doesn't have that infrastructure. It's just
right.
In your DNA.
Right.
You've done it from the very beginning. At what point, JY, did you come in the mix? I think it was around 2006 you joined?
Yeah, I joined Dave here and Chuck in 2006. We had just over 150 stores. And growing the Anytime Fitness brand to 2,700 has been quite the ride.
Yeah, and this maybe a question.
In the city too.
So, sorry, I just
mm-hmm.
cut you off, but
no
maybe worries. A question for both of you guys. You know, as you've seen a ridiculous amount of explosive growth, that it's mind-boggling probably for some of the folks listening. At the end of the day, a good sound business boils down to the unit level operations and all that. But what would be one piece of advice that you would give looking at the rocket ship? I think I read a stat. You're one of below 30 groups in the world that have ever hit the 4,000 unit
mm-hmm.
threshold. I think Subway did it faster, maybe. Like, I don't know, but it's pretty incredible what you did. So I think the audience would be wanting to hear, like, what would be a piece of advice to manage a rapid level early growth? Maybe it could be from a team perspective, but philosophy perspective, but what's one piece of advice that you would say?
This is the easiest one you'll ever ask me, right? What makes it, we just had this conversation with Jed today, believe it or not, as Chuck and I had a one-on-one meeting with Jed, and we were talking about how we're developing our franchise development for Basecamp and what his key role will be for executing a high performance of selling new franchises. And we simply said franchisee profitability. Work on the current systems in place and make sure we're driving profitability to our systems. Listen, the rest of this is easy. If you care about your individual units and the success of your franchisees, the rest of this business becomes very, very easy. If you start behind the eight ball in that area, you're going to have a lot of work to catch up. Make that a core focus. That has to be number one.
Yeah. Jed, tell the audience, what is Basecamp? Give us a quick overview.
So Basecamp is a 35-minute class-based workout. It anchors between an assault bike and strength training on the floor. So you have one instructor that manages a class of 30 to 40 people. You have TV screens throughout the studio that will help guide you as to what the next workout is, but you're alternating in 60-second intervals between the bike and the floor with 10-second transitions in between. It's high energy, high impact, but it's low impact on your knees and your back and your joints. So you'll have an opportunity to scale at your own pace.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a great 35 minute workout.
That's very good, since I'm going to be doing a workout here shortly and the whole team. And by the way, Zach, jump in anytime you'd like. One follow on question though is from a technology perspective, what do you have in place technology wise inside of the operation?
That's a great question. So we've spent a lot of time, and I have a pretty strong technology background. So one of the reasons that I think Chuck and Dave folded me into this is we have an opportunity to really enhance the technology within this brand. And we've done a lot of advancements here since we've taken the brand on. First and foremost is creating a centralized platform to distribute and control the product being the workout and the audio. So we not only control the video that's on the display system, but also we have custom mixes that we put in place on the audio side that will help drive your beats per minute for you to guide the workout, so you continue to keep it a high intensity. And so we have a centralized platform for that. We also have systems and operations we've put in place to help with the sales and marketing side to make the process as simple as possible to run. Mm-hmm. So turnkey operations are really our focus here, so that you can focus on a great experience and focus on sales and people.
Well, do you mind if I jump in on that?
Go ahead.
Because I'll say this is the one interesting thing, because you guys asked us early on before we even started this podcast, what do you guys believe the placement of technology is? And a lot of people look to take technology to replace people. And he said a key word there. Technology is made to enhance people, right? We are in the service industry. And if we want to be closer connected to our consumers, how do we utilize technology to drive a better connection between our organization and our consumers, both inside our gyms and outside our gyms? This is a great example of a trainer assist program, right? Now that the trainers have a program, they can do some of the things they would normally have to be delivering and executing. They can keep a hyper-focus on the consumer's form,
yeah.
Create better energy in the room without having to worry about, oh, here's the next workout you need to do. So these are the little things that you do to enhance the experience that a consumer receives from the trainer that's in the room today. So it has to be an enhancement to your business, not something that replaces it.
Yeah.
A lot of people make that mistake.
A lot of respect for that. It's literally the genesis of why we like having these conversations. It's why we started the podcast, to talk about the intersection of modern technology and franchising.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Rallyo is a powerful combination of social media technology and local agency. The easy-to-use mobile app enables franchisors and their franchisees to manage their entire social media presence, online reputation, and online directory listings in one place for all locations. The advocacy system turns net promoters into real promoters and incentivizes franchisees and their employees to share content that portrays your brand as a best place to work. And Rallyo Local provides a white-glove service that can manage everything for franchisees. Voted as the number one social media technology platform and number six marketing partner overall in the second annual Entrepreneur Magazine franchise supplier listing, Rallyo will help you rally your employees and customers around your brand on social media. Visit Rallyo.com today to get a 100% free local analysis report comparing your franchise system versus your industry averages. That's www.rallyo.com.
Zach.
Yeah, I was going to dive in. I think that you guys have talked a lot about, unit profitability and about, a lot of the components that you guys have consistent across all of your brands. Are really, I guess the question really is for any of you, I suppose. I think that there's probably a lot of tools that are required in order to keep this thing going, because, you have three brands, you have a lot of units between them all. And I think we have the backbone of that sitting in the room in terms of the operation side. So Jennifer,
we call JY the toolbox.
Yeah, I mean, she
manages the toolbox. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I guess my question for you really is I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. We talked about the abstract, I guess, kind of the mentality you're supposed to have, but when it comes to the actual tools itself,
sure.
What are some things that you guys find that are really important for you guys to implement?
Yeah, regardless of the brand, I mean, I work on the parent level side for self-esteem brands. Mm-hmm. The big thing is, with each brand, you need to have a really strong training group. Mm-hmm. Franchise training, getting people set up correctly on the front end, and then continuing that training through their journey. Our annual events, our regional events, it's all about keeping people engaged and keeping the system learning. Mm-hmm. And when you have people that are always learning, they're always excited about the next thing, and that's what keeps the brands relevant and fun and is rewarding for franchisees as business owners. In addition to training, I think as a franchisor, we're responsible for getting them set up correctly. So we put a lot of research and a lot of time into site selection. We lean on a lot of vendor partners in those spaces where we're doing a lot of predictive analytics. It's really important to get somebody set up the right way in the right trade area. So we offer a lot of support in those areas. What else? Customer service. I mean, we've got our Coach Care and our Connect standards that we use across our brands. We need our franchisees and their employees servicing the customers. And that, you know, goes across all brands as well.
You also need tools to be able to help your franchisees pick the right locations.
Yeah.
There's so many inner tools that we use inside of our business at JOI Manager. Yeah. She probably forgot more than she even knows when it comes to all the tools and resources. You know, the right CRM and management tool to manage all the nuances of your administration.
Yeah.
JOI manages every nook and cranny of the business. And if you fall down in that early on in your franchise system, you're going to play catch up for a very, very long time. So you have to get ahead of your business. JOI was someone we brought in early for the fact that we knew we needed to button up really quick. And we had a little catch up to do ourselves when we started out. Today, we're ahead of that curve because of it.
Yeah. Another question, Zach, did you have a follow-up to that?
Yeah, I just kind of about the tools that you guys were providing too. I think that there was something I wanted to ask earlier, but I kind of wanted you guys to just keep going here. In terms of tools that you guys provide the franchisees for, you know, for all the brands, from a marketing standpoint, I am just kind of, you know, curious as to what your philosophy is in terms of what you're teaching them when they first get started. You know, what are some of the things that are important, you know, when you're integrating a new brand on the consumer level, when you're integrating a brand that's a little bit newer in Wax in the City, and then of course the mature brand and Anytime Fitness, you know, what are some of the things that you're teaching them that you find are important for them to continue to do?
Absolutely. I can share a little bit on that, so maybe I'll touch on it first. You know, one of the big things from a marketing standpoint with your franchisees is understanding what your role is and what the franchisor role is, right? And we here in a lot of franchise systems have a general ad fund, we have local ad funds, and we utilize those resources to drive awareness, to drive campaigns. Mm-hmm. But there's a local effort in that organic marketing search, and there's tools and resources you can give your franchisees to help build that on a local level, but not impede on the efforts you're doing at a global level as well. So
sure.
There are a lot of efforts around that area, because what I find a lot of times in franchising is you'll have a franchisor doing a lot of digital efforts, and guess what? So will the local people. And if you're doing the same thing, you're really burning dollars is what you're doing. So being smart and making them aware of their role and our role and how we collaborate together is what makes a strong marketing engine.
Sure.
Any other thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, we've incorporated quite a bit of technology to provide visibility in the end-to-end consumer journey, right? Mm-hmm. So as you're going through the lead generation and certainly the acquisition process of a consumer, there's a level of understanding the intricacies of that flow, as you know, right? So all the way to the point of acquisition, you want to understand what are those processes, what are the connection points between the different systems and tools that you can see and analyze deeply into that process and understand where the opportunities for improvement are, as well as where we might want to tweak our sales process, and giving that exposure so the franchisee doesn't have to build that on their own is really important for us to deliver as a turnkey.
Yeah, it's a lot more than an acquisition model. It's also a retention model, right? Mm-hmm. You need to use your marketing efforts to retain your consumers as much as you do just acquiring them.
Sure.
Yeah, something I thought was really neat, because you mentioned it, hyper-local, like you absolutely drilled it. I mean, that is like defining the roles is like a lot of the battle, and not having duplicate efforts crossing. But one of the things that I had Kristen on the podcast, who's in marketing here, runs marketing team and all the rest, she said that you guys even track basically the organic reach of your social, for example. You track that and quantify it.
Oh, yeah.
And because at the end of the day, if you're looking paid or owned media, those are channels that, I mean, that has value. If you can actually get engagement organically, like that's the holy grail, isn't it? Not have to go pay for that.
If you can get organic leads, and just so everyone on here knows what an organic lead, it's someone who searches you out versus you searching them, right? So an organic lead is someone who says, I'm interested in a fitness brand, Anytime Fitness. That's an organic lead, right? That's going to be a lot more solid lead than someone, at that point looking at treadmills, and Anytime Fitness pops up in front of them, because we were smart enough to tag them and say, let's get us in front of their business. You know, that's a completely different animal. So really creating fostering a strong relationship to develop deeper organic leads, that is both a local and global effort to create that kind of awareness.
In fact, one thing that I want to ask and kind of pivot to is from a bigger picture positioning wise, I'd like to learn more about where Basecamp fits into the fold as we look at the market. And then also just ask kind of the bigger question that a lot of people look at this market that you're in, for example, and say there's a lot of competitors, there's a lot of this, it's noisy, and maybe it's a little trendy or faddy. What say you to that, and kind of where do you fit in the position in the world?
Yeah, great question. So we have an opportunity not only to leverage the platform of SEB to help take us to market, right? We have master franchisees internationally that will be a really big part of our growth story. Right, so part of self-esteem brands and taking Basecamp Fitness into the market is also leveraging the master relationships that we have, and so we have a really clear path ahead of us with our master relationships in over 35 countries to help us with that growth story. And certainly, there's a heavy amount of interest not only in the Anytime Fitness space with people that are looking to diversify their portfolio enter into a space where high intensity interval training and class-based workouts have become a focus in the fitness industry. So we see a really big opportunity in front of us, both on the domestic front and internationally.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
Well, one of the things you asked about, is it a trend, right? Group training has not been a trend. I mean, that's been around forever. It's a matter of creating it as an experience. Basecamp's an experience element of exercise and an expertise that some people go, I want consistency, I want a product that I fall in love with, and I'm willing to pay more for something that's more simpler to get my results that I'm looking for. Basecamp provides that, right? So it gives that breadth of focus, and that's, consumers are looking for that not only in the fitness industry, but across all industries. You're seeing people narrow down their expertise to give a better element of service and support to the consumer. Consumers are demanding it. We got to meet their needs.
Yeah.
Well, I'll add one last thing. We focus, at least from a product perspective, on an efficient and effective workout. So as you've seen, the 35-minute workout, we want to provide the best bang for your buck from time perspective. There's a component of you versus you, so creating some competition within and a team environment within the workout. And then, of course, the community aspect. We really, as Dave mentioned, bring in Anytime Fitness and scaling that from a community perspective. There's a lot of alignment in what Basecamp brings from a community and a tribal component with this workout.
The beauty of this for us with our multi-brands is that the average member of a studio has more than one membership. And that was one of the reasons we were passionate about bringing a high-impact business out into the marketplace, because we knew it would actually not impact or hurt our other brand with Anytime Fitness. It would actually complement it. And that's why we have so many franchisees that are already reaching out to us with interest in bringing this as their secondary model into their markets.
That's a really good point. And I'll just also comment on what you said. Literally, when we walked here at headquarters, there's a gym downstairs and there's a room where I feel like I'm going to get pounded with the workout. Culture was there. They literally, when we walked in, people were like, woo! There was a whole group of probably 20 people.
They finished it at noon.
And yeah. So I'd like to speak a little bit to kind of the mission, vision, values, and culture that you have here at SEB kind of globally, and then how that trickles down through and even into operations. But
absolutely. I mean, it starts at the top, and the top is our vision is really simple. There's a reason it's called self-esteem brands, right? Everything that we're involved in, the goal is to be able to improve the self-esteem of the world. We know that's the most loftiest, arrogant statement you'll ever say, but we only believe you can do it one person at a time. We're not going to change the whole world, but we can change the world that we impact every day, and that's through all shareholders and stakeholders, right? So anyone that's a part, it could be someone who works here, it could be a franchisee, it could be their employees, it could be our consumers. It needs to reach and meet all of those needs. So that's very important for our mission and our vision to move forward this business. And we really deliver this culture through what I would call our four pillars. And our four pillars are a road sign you saw when you walked in the door.
Took a picture.
It's about really developing and strengthening the people around you and developing and that focus of people. 50-50 is our rule. 50% of how can they impact the business better? 50% is how can we impact their lives better, right? It has to be an equal distribution in the world of high performance, and a culture where you care as much about your consumers, about your staff, as they care about, of course, our business. We've got to have an equal relationship, and that's very, very important for even a suggestion I would have for franchisees. I hear so many times the focus of our consumer. Take a look at your staff and make sure you're giving them the same love as you do your own customers. It's really important. Secondarily, it'd be our purpose, driving our purpose, improving self-esteem in the world, and the micro purposes of each one of those brands. If it's Wax in the City, that means let's go there. We want to talk about that and highlight that and bring that to life. If it means let's make healthy happen or a stronger you, all of it makes a difference in how you focus on the culture and the purpose of our brands. Profits. We're in franchising people. We got to drive profitability to our businesses, and we got to make sure everyone is winning, both from a return on their financial investment, but a return on their emotional investment, which we call ROEI, which means what kind of personal impact that they have. And because so many people think about the money, but no one calls me to tell me how much money they're making. They tell me how they've changed other people's lives, and their life has been changed. You have to focus on that. And last, if you're not having a little bit of fun, listen, we put play in there because play fosters creativity and fosters community, fosters collaboration. Those are all very, very important, but really a community of fun is very important. We take our work very seriously, but we don't take ourselves too serious, and that's kind of how we, our mantra of developing a high performance culture.
I love it.
And now a word from our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Busch Global. Busch Global is more than a franchise development company. They help you reach your organizational goals through intelligent growth, which comes through understanding your franchise, your concept, your values, and your vision. The team then builds a plan that identifies the right franchisee targets and the growth goals that you can successfully support. To learn more about Busch Global, visit BushGlobal.com. That's B-U-S-C-H Global.com.
How do you guys ensure that the franchisees and their employees and all, like from an operational standpoint, how do you ensure that that, you know, I guess flows through all the brands all the way down to like the intern that's sitting, that's at Anytime Fitness somewhere in Antarctica, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, like Dave said, it starts from the top. Yeah. And when you have good leaders and leadership is such a strong trait that people need in order to keep that culture going. If you don't have good leaders in place, you will start to lose that. And you got to take ideas from the first ranks, right? Like you said, our managers and our personal trainers and our serologists and Wax in the City, what they're experiencing, they need to bring that to the leaders so that they can continue to evolve the brand and make things better. Yeah. But, you know, that culture starts here in the corporate office when they come to training, and then they experience it in the regional events and at our annual conferences, through our podcasts that we do through our dashboards. And just interactions, you know, with our franchise business consultants on a daily basis. Yeah. So there's a lot of touch points, and it's all about engagement.
So. I was going to add training is what JY's mentioned a couple different times, and it's so critical that you foster education throughout the people that you bring into the brand, and that you're speaking the same language, and that you have consistency and uniformity in those pillars that are focus points, but also the training and education that people go through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at Basecamp, it's how we see and treat people. It's how we welcome, encourage, and celebrate our consumers. And so all of that is the foundational aspects of the education we put in.
There's a lot of great franchises out there that hyper-focus on operations, and you need to, right? You have to have buttoned-up operational excellence all the time, but operational excellence doesn't happen without great leadership, and that's a common gap with franchising, that we don't spend a lot of focus on making sure that you teach people how to lead others, because leading others isn't about developing you, it's about developing the surroundings around you, right? And a lot of franchisees have never been taught that, so you have to teach that. These guys are high-performance people that want to execute at a strong level, but at some point in time they realize they can't do it alone. You got to build a team.
Yeah. One of the things that is a hot topic, and I'd love maybe a hot take on recruitment, because I think that it's, especially in this economy, unemployment's down, and it's tough to find and hire and recruit the right people, not from a franchise, but I'm talking about from an employee level. I know, not getting into joint employer stuff, but I think culture creates it just puts out and attracts the right people that you want. But any hot takes on recruitment and how you've been successful at help at staffing up?
And I want to hear your guys' perspective, but I'll share this. This is a really simple question you have to ask yourself as a franchisor or anyone that's listening to this podcast. Zoom out of your business for a second and ask yourself, why the hell do I want to work for you? It's a simple question. Why would I want to work for your business? And if you can't answer that, you better start there. so many people are sitting here trying to battle with, I need to find talent or the right culture and everything else. But yet when you really look at, oh, you go, I don't even know if I'd want to work for myself. That's the first answer you have to have. So once you've zoomed out and said, okay, would I want to work for me or not? You've defined that. Great. Then you can start being real to yourself and going, who is that right culture that fits within to our system? Everyone focuses on talent, right? Hire the right talent, hire the right talent. But I'm going to tell you this, high talent, low culture means cancer, right? It is cancer in an organization, and the last thing you want to do is put death to your business, because I've met some highly talented people that I finally looked at and said, you don't belong here, right? You bring in high culture with low talent, you can develop that person because they're passionate about your business. Maybe there's some gaps and they're not going to grow to the excellence you may need out of them, but they're still going to be a high performer for your business, but the opposite way does not work. So you got to be smart about who you're hiring, but you got to know who you are first.
I mean, I don't know if you can say it any better than that, but I would say that focusing on leadership, right? That is probably the most, at least from my experience so far with Basecamp, you have to have the right leader in place at each one of the locations, the studios. And from there, they can implement the culture, which then becomes contagious, just like you want with customer acquisition and, you know, creating an environment where your customers are talking about your product and recruiting for you. The same thing happens with employees.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times we get a phone call, and JY gets this more than anyone, from a franchisee that's afraid to get rid of someone that's cancer in their business today. They'll hold on to bad talent all day long because they know they may have to step up and work a little bit harder. Well, guess what? Work harder and bring the right people in. It's a simple thing.
Yeah, and
you own that.
One thing that I love, we've been to a lot of HQs on this tour, and you can kind of tell when we bring up this particular part of the podcast about culture, that how we get like this feeling when we leave and we're like, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was, they have culture on the wall. That's
sounded
good.
Nice.
But it sounded nice, but like,
yeah, you can't put it on a wall and expect it to come alive. Yeah.
Right. So I think that that's like, it's good for people to hear the realities. I think with this sometimes, I think that people often don't look at themselves in the mirror and try to like feel like if they really even believe on what's on the wall.
Right.
And so I think it's cool to hear like people who do. Obviously, I know that this is a business that obviously I grew up like around this. So I knew that this is a business that certainly does that, but it's hard to find. So it's always refreshing.
Well, if you were to meet some of our staff at the hallway, they feel like they have purpose behind what they do, and they feel like their job matters and is part of the bigger thing that we're doing as an organization. And when you have purpose and a boss that appreciates you and listens to your ideas, that will go a long way.
I'm telling you, I literally felt it when we walked downstairs. It was like, wow, okay, this is really neat.
Maybe everybody's just nice because it's Minnesota. Maybe it's just because it's for real. Who knows? But I think it's a little bit of both.
I would even challenge it and say it's not. They feel their job does matter.
Yeah.
Right?
People make the mistake all the time that maybe you might not look at your staff and go, I couldn't do this without our staff. It's not the Chuck and Dave show by any means. It's everyone else in this building. It's really their show. If you took an org chart, we really believe you should flip it upside down for every business. My job is to serve our community, right? And we shouldn't be on the top. We should really be on the bottom, right? Because the people at the top are the closest to the business, and those are the people that are the elements of what's happening every day. And we've got to support them to make sure we're giving them the tools and resources and the elements to be able to be great.
We hosted Gary Vaynerchuk on the podcast at the IFA convention right before he did the keynote. And that's one of the big things that he's a noisy, loud guy.
How many times did he swear?
Actually, he was pretty decent. I think he only dropped like five F-bombs.
I think it was under seven,
which is crazy. And he was supposed to come on for 25 minutes, and we spent an hour.
That's awesome.
And he only dropped five F-bombs, so that's pretty good.
He did great at
he was maybe an F-bomb per 10 minutes, which was pretty good.
Oh, you mean at the speech or on the podcast?
Oh, no. The speech, it was 100 per minute.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was dialed back. It was good.
Yeah.
But he got on some threads that I think you articulated so well. Like that employment question, the way that you just said, would I work for me? Like literally, that's the question. Like,
yeah.
Just ask that.
Why would you work
if the answer is yes, then you're not going to have an issue with recruiting.
Yeah. They're not hiring you because they don't want to work for you. That's why they're not coming.
Yeah. And you're looking for this little tip and that little tactic and this and that, and it's not going to help.
No.
Because you're not going to retain them.
Yeah.
I feel like we cut you off. Maybe we
No, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think one thing that we've done a really good job with as well is we're investing in our employees. We have a development fund where we actually contribute to the coursework, if it's college tuition, or if they want to take special training. For instance, our franchise business consultant group is going through CTI training, and they're learning how to empathize with customers.
What is CTI?
Franchisees. It's a good question. I don't even know the acronym.
Coaching.
It's coaching. But they are learning how to empathize and how to deal with tough situations and how to ask the right questions. And I feel like that has really escalated our level of support to our franchisees, because we're investing
That's
in our
awesome.
People and making them better.
Because when you're coaching people, you probably have to take into account different personality types and all of that.
You have to meet them where they're at. Not everybody's in the same place, and you can never assume.
Yeah, that's really neat. What other kind of... I don't know if that's necessarily an initiative, but is there anything that you do here that's maybe unique? It could be any, like...
Sure, there's a lot, but we'd be here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear some.
You
is there anything...
Because we're talking about coaching, maybe I'll tee up on that a little bit, because coaching is an element that people don't understand. It's really driving behavioral change in people, right? And people make the mistake of coaching as support, you know, where I support you and I'm helping you, and franchisors often get the level of support where they're supporting their franchisees and they're helping them along the way. But you know what? The best love you can give someone is not always positive love. It's also tough love, right? Because the best franchisors are going to give the tough love when needed so they can help them grow and improve themselves. And tough love, it really means that I'm doing this for you because I care about you. You know, it's the same thing we talk about in weight loss. And I'll give you a vision. Everyone always gives a compliment. If you guys ever been in a fitness program where you're losing weight, everyone walks up to you and says, "You look great, man. What are you doing right now? You look awesome." But guess what? When you gain weight, how many people look up at you and say, "Dude, what's going on?" Right? You know what they do? They go behind the scenes and they talk about you, but they never say it to your face. Tough love is when you're willing to walk up to them and say, "Are you doing okay? What's going on with you? I've noticed you kind of changed your lifestyle habits. Is there anything I can do to help you?" That's called real love. And you know what? Real love needs to happen more in business and in life, frankly.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I've done business with some folks from Nepal and from over. It's in their culture to be so direct. And so when you hear that feedback, you know, the real love, sometimes you're just, you don't want to hear it. But at the end of the day, you have to appreciate it. And there's definitely not enough of that.
Go live on the East Coast for a little bit.
And Dave and I joke about this. I'm married to a Greek.
Gary, that's F-U love.
Yeah, no, like, go live on the East Coast for a little bit. See how much time people slam doors in your face, and then you'll know.
Yeah, being married to a Greek husband, I've got a lot of tough love. I always know where I stand.
That's good. Yeah. So, when is Basecamp? Are you franchising yet? Or are you franchising soon? When can folks look?
So, beginning of Q1 of 2020, we'll be opening the doors for franchising, both domestic and international. So, right now we are dialing our systems and our processes and our tools and our training and education, and certainly focusing on our own corporate store growth and making sure we fine-tune the product to its best ability to get it to a place where it's a turnkey system for franchising. So Q1 of next year will be hot off the press.
Nice. Well, we do have to move to wrap up soon, but I'd like for us to shake up the crystal ball. It's, what are we going on right now? I don't even know what day it is. Mm-hmm. It's 2019. What's the vision? 2025. What does it look like 7 years, 6 years from?
Very simple. We just define that for our whole organization as part of building a good business to have great strategy behind it. It's really simple for us. We want 8,000 units, either studios, gyms, whatever it is, open by 2025. Now there's a working task to be able to get there, but it's a task that our team has grasped around, and that's the ultimate goal. We'll have over 8,000 units open between all the brands.
Nice. And as you look at kind of top initiatives to help execute against that, what are some of the top initiatives for you? And
you know, it's all about unit profitability, helping our franchisees continue to drive their top line and manage their expenses and grow the business.
Nice.
That's what it's about.
And then where are you in that crystal ball?
Yeah, and so Basecamp, I think, will be a big part of that crystal ball. We have certainly ambitious growth targets, both in the U.S. and international. We are putting the best product forward that we think will be able to sell itself to from a unit profitability standpoint, but certainly from a consumer attractiveness standpoint as well. So, you know, we think we're going to be a really good a complement to the Anytime Fitness product in targeting a different consumer And certainly consumer segmentation is a big part of our strategy as an overall organization and making sure that we're providing the best products and services to consumers across the world.
Love it. Well, we will be following the growth, and we are big fans, and we're kind of, I'm nervous to go downstairs and get beat up on a workout.
For exactly.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in my head right now. I didn't like the food that I had, and I'm not excited for.
We'll tell you offline what we ate, but it wasn't necessarily.
Oh, well, maybe
good.
We'll find out what he ate. So, you know.
That's funny.
We really appreciate it, guys. This was really awesome.
Yeah, very much appreciate the time, and we'd love to host each of you back on the podcast separately at some point in the near future.
Amazing.
Because we like to go. We like to explore, but thank you so much for the time.
Love what you guys are doing. Keep sharing the wealth of franchising. It's a great business to be in. I'm glad you guys are championing it. So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.